Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today, and all of them deal with the latest State Department email dump of emails that Hillary Clinton has so graciously allowed the State Department, and for the most part, the rest of us to see from her private email account on her private email server. And Jim, if these are the ones she was okay with us seeing, I'd hate to see the ones she deleted, because let's start with the good martini, and it's good because it suggests to the American people what kind of Democratic nominee and potential president they're looking at here. And this could also reflect very poorly on the Obama administration as well. One of the emails sent to Huma Abedin and someone named Lona Valmoro, this is from Monday, June 8th, 2009. Hillary emails them and says, "I heard on the radio that there's a cabinet meeting this morning. Is there? Can I go? If not, who are we sending?" Kudos to the Obama administration for good communications among the different departments of the government. And it's good to see that Hillary realizes that there is a meeting. She probably ought to be there.
This is a good martini for a couple of different reasons. One being that, hey, there are some emails she didn't delete. Two, the fact that we're getting to see these, and you know that Hillary Clinton and her team would much rather we didn't. This is a small, partial victory for the rule of law and record keeping and all this stuff that she tried to break. But obviously, we know that there was some amount of emails that she deleted and we're never going to get to see. And oh, by the way, if these are the ones that she kept, just how bad were the ones she deleted? Among them, the two you mentioned, one, it almost sounds like something out of a Chris Buckley novel or one of mine, or HBO's got this show called The Brink right now. But like, honest to goodness, Hillary to Huma Abedin and a couple other aides, "I heard on the radio that there's a cabinet meeting this AM. Is there? Can I go?" Wait, but first of all, you're the secretary of state. Why wouldn't you be allowed to go? Are you on an Obama on the outs? You're not friendly, you know. Obama says, "I can't go to the cabinet meeting. I'm not his friend anymore." You know, if not, who are we sending? I mean, she looks, you know, like she has no idea what's going on. Who? Huh? What? And then the second one that everyone's kind of chatting and chuckling about, Wednesday, December 23rd, 2009, an extended back and forth between Huma Abedin and Hillary about having trouble with the fax machine. Now, on the one hand, you're hearing quite a bit of defenses of people saying, all right, who really knows how to operate a fax machine anymore? And they are rarer than they used to be, but it really does look like something out of a sitcom. And these are kind of the funnier examples. I think overall, though, you can paint a pretty unflattering portrait of Hillary Clinton from all this, a sense of not being connected or really knowing, very much being managed by her staff and very much, you know, maybe even being a figurehead and making the argument that the likes of Raines and Huma Abedin and folks like that were running actual U.S. foreign policy during this time, not Hillary Clinton herself.
Certainly is the case. You'd think, though, with somebody who's been around as long as Hillary Clinton has, that the fax technology would be the one she'd be more familiar with rather than operating the multiple devices and the private email server. She can apparently set up her own server, but she can't work a fax machine.
She is also used to, you know, the quill and pen and all that kind of stuff, or using the telegraph machine too, I suppose. Another example is it looks like some sort of satirical farce. A lot of the emails are, they're trying to call on a secure line and the sound quality is terrible. Is there anything we can do about this? So the line is secure and we know the bad guys can't listen in on it because no one can hear anything because of all the static. I feel safer, don't you, Greg?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, the millennials will love her technological capabilities. So let's hype that as much as possible in the months to come. All right, on to the bad martini as it relates to this. And Jim, it'll shock you that the more these emails come out, the more it turns out people have been lying. First, we got the stories of the Sid Blumenthal emails, who was not supposed to have any role in the State Department, explicit instructions from Team Obama, yet he had one, and he was giving her intel from Libya and so forth. And now it turns out he was apparently advising her on just about everything, making major revisions to major speeches, and basically dropping in and sending her emails about, "Hey, are you up? I want to talk to you." Constant communication there. And also caught in the lying swirl is David Axelrod, who said previously that he had no idea that there had been this private email account or private email server. And it turns out they exchanged emails on it as well, because he specifically asked for her email address. And Cheryl Mills told Hillary to remind her to ask her about it if it was okay that David Axelrod had the email address. So you're caught there, buddy.
Earlier today, he issued a statement saying, "Look, I knew she had a private email address. I didn't know she had used it exclusively or that she had her own server. I have asked him on Twitter and not yet gotten a response. Did you think her private email was on a government server? No response yet, which is a fairly glaring, you know, clintonemail.com. That sounds like a .gov address, doesn't it, Greg? Right?
Absolutely.
You know, one, the Blumenthal ones are useful for a couple of points to kind of reveal a couple of things. One is the Obama White House was very clear on this, right? Sid Blumenthal had, in their mind, broken the rules of engagement during the primary. You know, he was talking about the Whitey tape. He was rumor mongering and just they basically said, look, no, you crossed a line. You don't get to work in the Obama administration. And her whole way, okay, we're just going to have him work for the Clinton Foundation. And it sounds like he was not just an advisor, but a pretty serious advisor from the very beginning. And on the one hand, you know, the president can't order you to stop talking to someone. On the other hand, you have to wonder how the professional diplomatic staff at the State Department, who already think that all of their superiors from the political world are a bunch of idiots, that just kind of goes with the territory. There's always this tension between the professional civil service or professional foreign service types and everybody who comes in with a new administration. I mean, how'd you like to be a real Libya expert in the State Department and you're constantly being asked, well, Sid Blumenthal is telling me this thing. Can we check it out if it's true? And knowing that Sid Blumenthal, who's, you know, working here in the U.S. and, or, you know, or any one of the other issues, he was advising on the U.N. speech. He was advising on meeting with the U.K. over Northern Ireland. He was advising on a meeting with Merkel. That ultimately this guy who's a political hack, who's just known for being a loyalist through and through, he has a much greater say in what she thinks and is a much more close and trusted advisor than you who's actually been studying foreign policy your entire life. It had to be enormously dispiriting, and you can't believe that it's a particularly good way to put together U.S. foreign policy. And I think it really this is probably very revealing of the mentality of Hillary Clinton, that she trusts her loyalists much more than anybody else, even the people whose professional job is to give her the best information possible.
Doesn't bode well. She's basically got her inner circle, and that's who she trusts. And in a lot of ways, that's not all that different than Team Obama. He's got a few people he relies on almost exclusively as well. And sounds like if she wasn't invited to the cabinet meeting, she might not have been in that inner circle, even in the earliest days of the administration. But all right, on to the crazy martini now. And as frustrating as the David Axelrod and Sid Blumenthal aspects of the story are, Jim, it's not a good series of revelations for the Fourth Estate. There is a number of issues here that suggest any shred of media objectivity, even from folks who you knew, lean to the left, is really disheartening this morning. Perhaps the worst one is when Democratic National Committee woman Linda Rothschild sends Hillary an email saying, Les Gelb of Parade Magazine really wants to do this profile of you, a day in the life where you meet with members of Congress and you meet with foreign dignitaries, and he promises you veto over content and promises you're really going to like it. I'm paraphrasing here, but the veto of content is specific, and he promises that she's going to like it. So, you know, we always hear about, well, these people, they're kind of in a bubble. They lean to the left, but they're really not dishonest people. You've got that. You've got, it looks like Ben Smith from Politico spiking a story because Tommy Vitor wanted him to. And then Paul Begala asking people at the State Department what grade he should give Hillary so far as Secretary of State. And shockingly, it turned out to be an A+, Jim.
Begala by himself isn't really a surprise. I think the more interesting thing is like, look, they're asking me to talk about her accomplishments. Quick, what does she have? I haven't noticed any. What have you been doing for these first 100 days? The other thing that kind of jumps out about that, I've seen people really giving Ben Smith a lot of grief about this over at the Washington Examiner. Tim Carney says, look, it's fairly standard to go to, you know, to say, look, I got an idea for a story. I got a thesis. And you call up a source who'd be in a position to know and say, you know, where am I wrong? And it sounds like they talked him out of it. Now, that happens fairly regularly between, you know, reporters and sources. By itself, it's not necessarily an indication of something scandalous or Smith being compromised or led around by his sources or something like that. Having said that, it's very interesting the way that, is it Huma or is it Donna Mills says, victory in all capital letters. Like they really wanted this story to go away, which is interesting. And the second thing is I don't think Smith has really laid out what his story was about. And so if it really was, yeah, I thought that Hillary Clinton was growing an 11th toe or something like that. You know, if it was, it was something totally, totally wrong. No, actually, look, here's a picture of her. She has 10 toes. The thesis of your story is wrong. Well, then fine. Okay. All right. The gist of it was Smith made a brief statement. He said it's about the relationship between Hillary and Obama. We don't know exactly what it was. If I'm Ben Smith, I was like, yeah, I was going to write a story on X and X turned out to not be true. Well, then tell us. There's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you don't tell us, well, it's not surprising people will come to the suspicion that, well, actually, maybe it was a true story. It was just inconvenient for the administration, and they managed to spin you out of it. So indications that the clubbiness between the administration and certain media sources isn't the least bit surprising, considering what we know. But it's interesting to have these emails that pretty much confirm it.
Well, can't wait for the next batch. And as you pointed out earlier, if these are the ones she's not hiding, the ones that she is hiding, could be very, very damaging and a lot less funny, given the fact that different intelligence sources probably have all of them, and we're the only ones that don't. Jim, on that note, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today, and tune in again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.